Backseat Box Office, episode number 128, for the weekend of March 1st through March 3rd, 2013. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and welcome to Backseat Box Office. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Lena. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I saw a movie tonight.
And what was it?
I saw Warm Bodies, finally.
Oh.
At one of those places where you go to the movies and you sit and order dinner as well. Not the fancy schmancier ones that have, like, Barca loungers, but this has really tacky pleather chairs that make your butt sweat, but whatever.
In Florida, go figure.
There was like five people there. I was with two other people. There were two other people in front. But it was fun.
So you had controlling interest in the audience.
Indeed.
How's the movie?
It was fun. It was it's a feel good zombie movie, if ever there was one. I think Graham Norton called it, and I thought it was funny, a Zom rom-com. And when it first came out, I was kind of iffy about it. It seemed a little kitschy to me, and I wasn't entirely sure. But then I kept seeing people tweet about it and seeing, you know, things on Facebook. People were seeing it and were just surprised at how much they enjoyed it. And I thought, oh, I kind of want to see it, but I don't know if I'll get around to it. And a friend of mine texted me today at work saying, you know, she and another friend are going to go. The movie's at 6:15. If you can make it, join us. If not, no biggie. So I was like, oh, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go to the movies. Then I'll go home and take a nap and get ready for my night of recording. It was a really cute movie. I enjoyed it. John Malkovich is in it.
Yeah, that's what I heard. There's also a recently released Backseat Quickies by Scott.
You know what? I saw that after I got home, so I'm going to listen to it. Probably not tonight, but I'm going to listen to it tomorrow and maybe throw a comment up there. Because I think it's dated yesterday, and I didn't even know that. How about you? Any movies over the weekend?
I haven't seen anything in release or anything that's been out recently, but my wife and I, we rewatched one of our favorite comedies, Wedding Crashers.
You know, I've never seen that. Click, called it's, over.
It's, I don't remember if we saw it in the theater or we watched it on TV, but we just watched it, and Vince Vaughn it's a very good performance. He's very funny.
He is. I like Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, he's, he carries the movie for us. I'm not a big Owen Wilson person.
I could take him or leave him.
But it's a fun date movie. Put that.
I'll anytime it kind of runs on, you know, if I run across it on TV, it's already been on for a while. So I've just never caught it. But I did finally. Whoops, my mouse fell down. Whoops. FX played both Iron Man and Iron Man 2, and they've been doing this for a couple of days. And I want to see both before Iron Man 3 comes out. Sometimes I don't care. This time I do. And I was doing some cleaning up, and it was like 7:58, and I was going through the little TV guide channel, and Iron Man 1 was starting in 2 minutes, and then Iron Man 2 was immediately following. So I almost killed myself running into the other room to DVR it. Oh, it was the night of the Oscars. That was it.
Yeah.
The night of the Oscars. And did we watch the Oscars?
Yes, we did. You want to talk about that now or after the picks?
We'll talk about it after.
Okay, good.
First, I'll get into how the movies did this weekend. Identity Thief clawed its way back up into first with $14 million. Snitch opened at number 2 with $13.2 million. Escape from Planet Earth came in at number 3 with $10.7 million. Safe Haven came in at 4 with $10.5 million. A Good Day to Die Hard dropped quite a bit to 5th with $10.2 million. And I'm going to go as far as Dark Skies coming in sixth, grossing $8.2 million, because some people had that in their picks, and that's as far as we need to go.
Like me. So I'm a little upset that we talked about Safe Haven so much that I think it got a bump.
We are just too powerful for our own good. This is a terrible burden.
Yeah. So, I don't know how to explain it. But
well, yeah. Considering there's four movies coming out this weekend, suffice it to say, it will drop enough.
We could only hope.
We also need to go over how everyone else did with their picks last week. We're going to combine the result show again for a little while because my schedule is a little crazy. Nobody got a perfect score of 25, but Art had the best score with 22, and he had a voicemail with an interesting little bit of information at the end. So let's listen to Art's voicemail.
Hey, this is Art calling in my pick. I'm gonna go with Identity Thief staying at number one. It really didn't fall a lot last week, and I just don't have a lot of faith in the two new releases. I think Die Hard is gonna fall pretty hard with Snitch beating into its mark, and I'll put Snitch in number two. I don't really have a lot of faith in the movie, but I think it's good counter-programming from putting off the before and after weekends of Valentine's. So then I'm going to go with Safe Haven. From there, I'm going to go with Die Hard. And at the very bottom, I'm going to put this Dark Skies. We'll see what happens. Idea for scoring. I think you should start giving a 1/10 of a point per week participation bonus. I think that would help to balance out some of the people who play very rarely but score highly and stay up near the top. The people who play all the time, so I don't know. For the members, just think, you know, and go from there. All right. Good luck, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Art. And to go over his picks again, he had Identity Thief and Snitch correct at 1 and 2. He had Safe Haven at 3 instead of 4, A Good Day to Die Hard at 4 instead of 5, and Dark Skies in 5th instead of 6th. He made, and this is something I actually am going to, it was an interesting little tidbit. He suggests a 1/10 point participation bonus to keep people playing and to keep them from dropping out. Because we lost Uriah this week because he hasn't played for 5 weeks. Bad, bad, bad Uriah. Shame on you. I thought that was an interesting little thing. It's kind of a bribery deal. We'll have to think about that. Yeah. Next, we had BD, Kugron, and Tad, all with the same picks, all with 19 points. Tad had a voicemail, so let him do the talking.
Hey, this is Tad. Sorry, I don't have my list with me of what I was going to pick this week. And so I'm just going to ditto BD this week. I'm sorry I'm kind of lame, but if I'm going to ditto someone, I might as well ditto him. So those are my picks. Sorry, I'll do better next week. And good luck, everybody. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Tad. And to go over that one more time, they had Identity Thief correct number one, A Good Day to Die Hard in second, Snitch in third, Safe Haven in fourth, Escape from Planet Earth in fifth. And next is Jeff. How did you do, darling?
I had a 19, just like the three gentlemen in front of me, but I had a little different way to get there. I had Identity Thief at one, A Good Day to Die Hard at two, and that came in at five, so I lost 3 points there. I had Snitch at three. It came in at two, so I lost a point there. I had Escape from Planet Earth at four, and it came in at three, so I lost a point there. And I had Dark Skies at five, and it came in at six, so I lost a point there. So 6 points off, 19.
And 19, kind of a popular score. I also had 19. And I had the same first four picks as you, Identity Thief, A Good Day to Die Hard, Snitch, and Escape from Planet Earth. The only difference, I had Safe Haven in fifth instead of fourth, and that's where I also lost a point, giving me 19. Father Beast was next. He had Snitch at number 1, and since that came in at number 2, he lost 2 points on that. Identity Thief in 2nd instead of 1st. A Good Day to Die Hard in 3rd instead of 5th. Escape from Planet Earth in 4th, and Dark Skies in 5th, and he ended up with 18 points. Next is Nick, and we will listen to his picks.
Hi, this is Nick. Number 1, I'm going to go with Snitch. 2, Die Hard. 3, ID Thief. 4, Safe Haven. And 5, Dark Skies. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Go over them real quick. He also had Snitch at number 1, giving him a 2-point loss. A Good Day to Die Hard in 2nd instead of 5th. Identity Thief in 3rd instead of 1st. He had Safe Haven correct in 4th. And Dark Skies in 5th instead of 6th. And rounding everything up is the lovely Mrs. Beast. She also had Snitch in 1st. She had Dark Skies in 2nd instead of 6th, giving her a 4-point loss. A Good Day to Die Hard in 3rd, Identity Thief in 4th, and Safe Haven in 5th, giving her 13 points. And I'll go over the leaderboard really quick if I open the correct spreadsheet. Monty is still in 1st with 25 points. BD is still in 2nd with 22.3. Art is in 3rd with 21.9. Kugron's in 4th with 21.5. Jeff, you are in 5th with 19.5 points. Tad is in 6th with 18.7. Nick is in 7th with 18.6 points. Scott is in 8th with 18.5 points. I am in 9th with 17.9 points. Father Beast in 10th with 17.4 points. Mrs. Beast, 11th with 15.7 points. And Mentally is in 12th with 13.7 points. And as I said earlier, we lost Uriah this week because he has not played for 5 weeks. So if you come back, you jump right back in where you were before, Uriah. That is it for the result show. And we have quite a handful of movies coming out this week, don't we?
We have 4. So let's jump right in. The first movie is Jack the Giant Slayer. Jack the Giant Slayer tells the story of an ancient war that is reignited when a young farmhand unwittingly opens a gateway between our world and a fearsome race of giants. Unleashed on the earth for the first time in centuries, the giants strive to reclaim the land they once lost, forcing the young man Jack, played by Nicholas Holt, into the battle of his life to stop them. Fighting for a kingdom, its people, and the love of a brave princess, he comes face to face with the unstoppable warriors he thought only existed in legend and gets the chance to become a legend himself. PG-13, 1 hour and 54 minutes, directed by Bryan Singer, who did the first 2 X-Men movies, I believe.
Oh, and
as Ewan McGregor, Stanley Tucci.
Those are the only names I recognize. Oh, Ian McShane, now that I look a little bit further. Warwick Davis. Okay, so maybe there's a few names I recognize. Kids movie, obviously. I think that's a good thing. I am not going to see it in a big theater. I'm sure I'll see it. I might rent it on Redbox when it comes around.
Yeah. You know, there's buttons on Rotten Tomatoes for want to see it or not interested. I think I lean to not interested. This just looks like another, you know, strip mining of fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. Anything your son would want to see?
He hasn't been that, you know, engrossed when he, cause we've, I think we, that, movie trailer played during the Oscars, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
He didn't seem that interested in it.
Okay. That's a good judge.
Okay. Movie number 2 is, 21 and over. Straight A college student Jeff Chang has always done what he was supposed to do. But when his two best friends, Casey and Miller, surprise him with a visit for his 21st birthday, Jeff Chang decides to do everything he wants to do. He decides to do everything he wants to do for a change, even though his important medical school interview is early the next morning. What was supposed to be one beer becomes a night of humiliation, overindulgence, and utter debauchery in this coming of drinking age comedy from the writers of The Hangover about living youth to its fullest. Rated R, 1 hour and 33 minutes.
No. That's a no for me. And, you know, I think if you've seen the trailer, you've pretty much seen the movie. I imagine everything that's not in the trailer is just monologue. They threw a whole lot in the trailer for this movie. A whole lot.
Yeah, so I don't know how many Hangover formula movies are going to be coming down the pipeline, but I think this might be the first one where, you know, they're going to have, you know, the Hangover story with younger kids. I'm sure there's going to be one with, like, seniors.
That I might see, but like some discount theater.
You know what I'm saying? Just variations on the same.
Absolutely.
Okay, so movie number three is Phantom. Academy Award nominee Ed Harris, David Duchovny, and William Fichtner, if that's how you say his name, star in The Phantom, a Cold War era suspense thriller about a Soviet submarine captain haunted by his past, who is forced to lead a covert mission that could spark a global nuclear war. Written and directed by Todd Robinson and inspired by true events, Phantom is a riveting deep-sea adventure about extraordinary men facing impossible choices. Rated R, 1 hour and 37 minutes. I haven't heard a word about this movie.
No, not a thing. I didn't even know it was coming out until tonight when I was looking at the movies, and I went and looked at the trailer. But I also see that Jonathan Cheik and Lance Henriksen are in it.
Oh, Lance Henriksen, Bishop.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me, and, you know, whenever I want to compare it to a movie, I can never remember the movie, The Hunt for Red October. Kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Also, Crimson Tide was the first one that I thought of.
Yes, yes.
With Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
And, I mean, I love Ed Harris.
Yes.
I try to see as many movies as he's in as possible. I like me some David Duchovny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And my friend Laurie, this is a movie she would love. She likes this type of stuff. I have no idea. I may get dragged into it. I don't know.
And fun critic review is from Chris Packham from Village Voice. What is up with combinations of Ed Harris, water, and unbelievably hulky endings?
Do not diss The Abyss. Thank you very much. I will cut you. The Abyss is one of my favorite movies. It wasn't a hokey ending. Well, it might have been a little, but it worked. I love The Abyss. I would watch that every day if it was on TV. I said it, and I don't mind. One more movie, Jeff.
Movie number four, The Last Exorcism, Part 2. Continuing where the first film left off, Nell Sweetser is found terrified and alone in rural Louisiana. Back in the relative safety of New Orleans, Nell realizes that she can't remember entire portions of the previous months, only that she is the last surviving member of her family. Just as Nell begins the difficult process of starting a new life, the evil force that once possessed her is back with other unimaginably horrific plans that mean her last exorcism was just the beginning. PG-13, 1 hour and 28 minutes. I'm noticing a lot of these new movies are not very long. Not that there's a problem with that. I'm just...
No. There's no reviews yet. Is it really just two audience reviews? Are there any more than that? Oh, there's more. Let's see here. It's not what you expect it to be, which is bland, low budget, and full of preposterous crap. What it actually is may leave you cracking your own neck in the aisle and rejoicing in the fact that it actually kills you. I like that.
That might be a little extreme for a movie.
I'm so going to have to edit my laugh because I'm sure it's going to just blow out the audio. I wasn't expecting that. It's funny. Thank you, Kyle Cantrell, wherever you are. I know I kind of go with the everyone likes to be scared. Hi, Kat. I'm not entirely, I don't know. I did read that initially this movie had a bit of a found footage thing, but they took that out. So I'm not sure why, because I would think found footage would have been a selling point. I don't know. That's it for our four movies.
Yes. That's it.
We have to get to picks now.
All right, so who's first?
Technically, I think it's you, but I will go first if you want.
I can.
Even though we both have the same score. See, I don't really know what that rule is. We both have the same score, but you're higher up on the leaderboard. So that's why I think what I think. But you have been going first a lot lately, which is a good thing. That means you've been getting better scores. But do you need more time? Or are you good?
I think these picks are not good. I pretty much know that for a fact, but I need to say them. Okay, at number one, I don't think there's any doubt that Jack the Giant Slayer is going to be number one.
Murr.
At number two, I am kind of okay with Identity Thief at two, just because, some of these movies that are coming out are going to be on less than 3,000 screens, and I think Identity Thief is still over 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got better word of mouth and it's probably better movies than some of the other ones that I just talked about. So I'm going to put Identity Thief at two. At number three, against my better judgment, which usually happens every week, 21 and over. At number four, I'm going to go The Last Exorcism Part Two, even though last week I had a scary movie. Sure. In the bottom of my top five, and it kind of burned me because it didn't even break the top five.
Well, you weren't the only one who picked that one either.
Yeah, true. And at number five, I'm hoping that enough kids will go see Escape from Planet Earth. And that parents that want to take their kids to a movie where they don't have to do the 3D, I'm hoping they go to Escape from Planet Earth instead of Jack. So there's my five. And for my indie pick, I'm going to pick with my heart because this was, you said Tony Scott's?
Yes.
Last movie, Stoker.
Yes, it was. He actually died during production of that, of Stoker. My picks are pretty different than yours. So one of us, and I'm going to go with maybe me, is way off. I have Jack and the Giant Slayer at number one. Yeah, you're right. It's a no-brainer. I'm putting 21 and over in second. This is the downfall of not going first, is I get to regret every single pick I make thinking I made a mistake. In third, I'm putting The Last Exorcism. The Last Exorcism or The Last Exorcist? Last Exorcism Part 2. Oh, Lord. In fourth, I'm putting Identity Thief. And in fifth, for reasons unknown, I don't know why, I'm putting Phantom in fifth. Maybe it's just my desire to have Ed Harris stop by my apartment and spend time with me.
Hopefully that doesn't sink you.
Oh, keep your day job.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for that.
My pleasure. Now, I don't really have any movie news. I haven't seen anything interesting. I'll put it that way.
Hold on, back up just a minute. What was your indie pick?
Oops. Okay. I'm sorry. Also Stoker.
Okay. Good. Good, good, good. All right. So back to, you were about to talk about movie news.
Yeah. I mean, in the Hollywood Reporter tweets and things, nothing, not that I saw all of them, but nothing really jumped out at me.
I did see that, hold on while it loads. That the girl from one of your favorite movies, Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Is going to be in...
And since they said her name the whole night of the Oscars, I stepped over.
Yeah, and I... Correct. She's going to be an Annie, even though I can't find it now.
Now that, great. Yeah, that I do remember hearing that. So that whole night I knew how to say her name. But I kind
of... Yeah, so she's going to be Hits Theaters Christmas 2014.
Oh, wow. I think her name is Quivagene, because it reminded me of Cavassier, which is a horrible comparison to a nine-year-old, but whatever. The Oscars. You watched it, I watched it.
Yes. First, what did you think of Mr. McFarlane?
Not bad. I enjoyed the beginning. I thought the boob song was funny. I don't care. I laughed and laughed at that. I loved the fact that his opening joke went over well, which was the joke about the goal being to make Tommy Lee Jones laugh. And then he did.
Yes.
I thought that must have been a huge relief for him, because if Tommy had just sat there stone-faced, he might have... I wondered if he was going to trip up or anything.
Yeah, I cringed a little bit at the boob song, just because, you know, we were watching it as a family, and my 12-year-old daughter was cracking up, and so was my son. But yeah, I think he did an okay job. But, you know, I don't think he changed his joke writing style for the Oscars.
No, and I'm glad he did.
Which, to me, I think was a little detrimental, because he did have some clunkers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there's, you know, there's a segment of comedians that enjoy pushing the envelope to see how crass and offensive that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy the Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth joke.
I'm not even going to say that was just in poor taste. It just didn't need to be there at all.
Yeah.
You are right. There definitely were some clunkers.
And, the cocaine jokes, or, you know, the reference to drugs at all in the Oscars, I didn't really appreciate.
You know what I also thought was funny? And no, I don't remember anyone in the audience laughing. Towards the beginning, when he was talking about everyone who was in the audience and people who were nominated, and he talked about Ben Affleck not being nominated for Best Director. And then he kind of dropped his voice and said, "It's not your fault, Ben." Did you get that?
No.
Did you see Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
That was the scene with Robin Williams when he's with Matt Damon, and he keeps telling him, when Matt Damon's talking about his crappy childhood, and he keeps saying, "It's not your fault. It's not," and he keeps saying it until Matt breaks down and cries. Okay. And he just keeps saying, "It's not your fault." He says it like 15 times. My friend called me because she got the reference as well, and I felt bad that nobody seemed to laugh at that. I thought it was hysterical.
Even though I didn't appreciate it, but the more that I've talked to people at work about it, the more it's making me laugh is Ted asking about getting into the orgy scene.
You know? Yeah. I wasn't sure, you know, when they came out, it's like, oh God, why don't do the little cartoon. Please don't bring Ted out. As much as I loved the movie, whenever they do the little animated things, I cringe.
Be that as may, with Mr. McFarlane, I absolutely loved the bit about Sound of Music.
Yes.
I almost stood up and clapped. So whatever I didn't appreciate, that made it worthwhile for me.
Yeah, I can't imagine how difficult it must be to host the Oscars. I mean, wow.
Yeah. What about the tribute to James Bond?
Shirley Bassey. Holy crap, she was unreal. I'm like, you could have ended the show right then. I'd have been thrilled to pieces. I loved her. Adele, I noticed, and I do love Adele, towards the end of Skyfall, her voice was getting a little... Her voice kind of craggled a little bit.
You know, there was a part in the beginning of her performance where I think the orchestra was too loud.
Yes. Yeah, and that did annoy me.
Yeah.
Because she's, you know, she's not one with a quiet voice. And.
But I love that song.
Yes. I'm very pleased she won.
I think I would rather have had Bassey and Adele go back-to-back.
I was so hoping that. Or maybe not having them sing together, but maybe just standing there side-by-side.
Yeah, not so much that. I think you have each singer on the stage, you know, alone. It was, for me, it kind of needed to be the James Bond section of the awards, where mm-hmm. they split it up. And I just think they half-assed the clip reel that they did for James Bond. I was waiting for them to do more.
Yes.
But I mean, it's been over, you know, it's 25 plus movies.
And yeah. They could, yeah, you are right with that.
I was hoping for more.
Back to Seth MacFarlane just for a moment. Did you like the musical number at the beginning with the dancing and?
Yeah. I pretty much expected that. I mean, because they wanted to, you know, kind of attribute to musicals.
Yeah.
That he was the right choice for that aspect of the award show. And I knew that was going to be happening.
And Kirk popping up.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that.
So was I, but I kind of liked it. I was afraid it was going to be too cheesy. As is his, what he tends to do. But I thought it worked. I thought it was kind of cute and it was funny. I was very happy that Paper Man won for short animated film.
Yes. So okay. So let's talk about the awards. So Best Picture.
Oh, I screamed. I was so happy.
Yeah, me too.
So happy. It just would have been a total ripoff if it didn't win.
I was half expecting Lincoln to get Best Picture. But I think I mentioned this before that because Affleck got locked out of Best Director.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Argo got a lot of votes for that injustice.
And I'm okay with that. I think it's a fantastic movie. And I think it deserved to win. Lincoln would have deserved to win. Argo would have, I'm glad Argo won.
Okay, moving to Best Actor. I can't see anyone having a problem with Daniel Day-Lewis.
And of the five of them, he's the only one I saw. But again, I can't. It would have been shocking if he hadn't won.
Best Actress. Jennifer Lawrence.
I haven't seen Silver Linings Playbook. I've only heard great things about it and her. I only saw the girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Mm.
She was good, you know, 6-7 year old when she did the movie. She did a great job, not Academy Award winning great job. But I still do want to see Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, I want to see the rest of it. She was good in the 20 minutes that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Best Supporting Actor, Christoph Waltz, or Waltz.
I do, you know, I only saw him in the one movie, and that was just last week in Glorious Bastards, but I've completely fallen in love with him from that. I thought it would be Philip Seymour Hoffman because of all of the build-up of The Master. And I haven't seen Django. So you would be the one to tell me. I didn't see Django.
His character is pretty similar to the German he played in Inglourious Bastards.
Hans Landa.
At least to me. I mean, there are differences. I'm at a loss of words to explain, if he did anything in Django that was that much better than anyone else in that category, but I haven't seen any of the other movies. I was kind of hoping for De Niro to win.
Well, you saw Alan Arkin.
I did see Alan Arkin, but to me, I don't. Arkin wasn't in Argo that much.
No, and that's the same thing with Tommy Lee Jones. He was very good. I don't think he was in it enough.
Yeah.
To have warranted that, and he was. I mean, obviously, he was good for his part.
Okay. Supporting actress.
Supporting actress.
Anne Hathaway.
No surprise at all. Although I will say, didn't like her dress. Did not like that dress one bit. It reminded me of, you know, those big, almost heavy, almost canvas aprons that butchers wear?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminds me of. I liked the dress she wore when she sang with the cast. I kind of wish she was wearing that all night long. That's quite possibly one of my few fashion bits.
I was just about to say, as a man, I don't know if I can comment on this topic.
That's okay. I thought, I did love Jennifer Garner's dress. I loved all the foo-foo in the back. Thought it was very pretty. That's it. Jeff commenting on the foo-foo?
Sure.
I would have liked to have seen Sally Field win. I thought she was great as Mary Todd Lincoln. But she's also the only one I saw, so I can't compare.
The only other surprises I can really talk about is Wreck-It Ralph got robbed.
But did you really think it was going to win?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of... Nah, I mean, I figured Brave was a shoo-in. I would have loved to have seen Wreck-It Ralph win. Loved. I just did not... To me, it was a long shot, I think, because it was more comedic and a little hokey. Not in a bad way, but I think as far as something winning an animated film winning the Oscar, they're going to look at something with the storyline of Brave long before they're going to look at something with the storyline of Wreck-It Ralph.
Well, I'll grant you Brave probably has greater mass appeal. Because, you know, honestly, Wreck-It Ralph is probably made for video game players. Like, if you're a person that doesn't play video games or didn't when they were little,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd probably walk out.
Now, I loved it. I loved Wreck-It Ralph. I would have loved to have seen it win. And there were a lot of video game, most of it I got. Some of it I didn't, and that was fine. But it was still more than enough to enjoy the movie.
Now, one of the big awards that we skipped over is Best Director.
Yeah.
Any surprise about Ang Lee winning?
Let's see. What have I seen out of everything? I saw three of the five nominated directors. Beast of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, and Lincoln. I thought it was a beautiful movie. Visually beautiful. So should have been Ben Affleck. I'm going to stick with that until I die. But for the ones who were nominated, I am okay with him winning. It was a visual feast.
Well, conventional wisdom says that that book is an unfilmable book.
That is what I've heard. And see, I didn't read the book. My friend who I went to see the movie with, she did see the book. She did read the book. She was very curious to see how it worked. She was very happy with it. I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. And even, you know, with the fact that, you know, for the tiger, I want to say something like 75% of the tiger shots were CGI and 25% was the actual tiger. But it just was great. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No. I don't need to now because you spoiled it.
Oh, please. Thanks, Tony. Oh, man.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, that's a callback to an episode of Backseat Producers where Tony called out our best buddy, Lena, for spoiling Life of Pi.
Yeah, tonight. He did the one they recorded tonight.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, yeah. So...
I spoiled... Thanks, Lena. Number one, I didn't spoil it, quote-unquote, until it had been out for a couple of weeks. Number two, it's a book! It's a book! I'm gonna get all Daryl and listen, bitches. Life of Pi is a book.
You're gonna slap your old hammer down. Yeah.
Oh God, make me choke.
I was happy that Mr. Tarantino got the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for Django.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm still foggy on how that's an original screenplay when it's based on the original Django that came out in the 60s.
Is really? I didn't.
Well, okay. Okay, well, think of this. Okay, so Django was in the original screenplay, and then wasn't, I think, Zero Dark Thirty was also an original screenplay.
I'm looking.
But yep. 25% based on a book about what happened?
Yes, that's true. That is true. But it was the guy, Mark Boal, wrote the book. He also wrote this screenplay. So maybe that kind of, I don't know, maybe that kind of cheats it.
Where was Argo nominated? Because that was based on a book.
Adapted screenplay. So, yes. Yeah. But yeah. I wonder if Chris Terrio, excuse me. And that one won. Chris Terrio won for adapted screenplay for Argo. And now for original screenplay, I think of the ones nominated, I only saw Moonrise Kingdom, which I really liked. I got that off Redbox, and my friend and I watched it, and she was bored out of her skull, and I would have watched it 3 times in a row. It was just a lovely movie. Let's see. Visual effects. Life of Pi won for visual effects. I don't know. I mean, it was up against The Hobbit, which I thought was pretty damn cool. The Avengers, Prometheus. The only one I hadn't seen was Snow White and the Huntsman, which I never would see. Kristen Stewart. Although I do have to say, I don't know who the girl is in Warm Bodies. I need to look her up.
Teresa Palmer.
Thank you. Has she done anything else? Would I know her anywhere else?
Other movies. The only other movie that I saw her in was The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Which I did not see.
With
The Grudge 2, no.
Nicolas Cage, Alfred Molina, and Jay Baruchel.
I do remember it. I know I didn't see it. She kind of, as I was watching the movie tonight, I turned to my friend and I, because she kind of has a little bit of that, just a little bit of that almost bored look to her face.
Yes.
And I turned to my friend and I said, she is the actress that Kristen Stewart wishes she was.
Any other awards stick out?
Let's see. I was actually surprised because of all the hype that Amour didn't win more. There was so much talk about Amour. Let's see. Pick. Actor, actress, feature film, cinematography, costume design. They're pretty much always period pieces. I've got nothing to say about that. Film editing, I didn't see any of the documentaries, so I did see a thing on TV about Searching for Sugar Man. I think it was on one of the CBS Sunday Morning. When they talked about that. Oh, yeah, because since Amour was nominated for foreign language film, I was kind of annoyed that it was also annoyed for Best Picture. It seemed a little greedy to me. But
speaking of Best Picture, if you remember, the reason that they went from 5 to 10 nominated Best Pictures, or Best Picture nominees, mm-hmm. was because there was a big uproar that Dark Knight got snubbed.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So now they have 10.
Oh, God.
And they very easily, they nominated 9. They had one extra spot, but they still snubbed Dark Knight Rises. They could have made it up.
Bastards.
But Dark Knight Rises doesn't get anything.
And that was the best of the three films, yeah. No, I think as far as the Oscars go, that was it. The other things were minimal. Still makes me want to see some movies. I kind of want to see him more, but I think it would depress the hell out of me. But that's okay.
True.
I have no problem going to the movies and sobbing like a baby.
That's why I can't watch documentaries unless I know it's a happy story. I can't watch a documentary if it'll bum me out.
You don't want to cry.
No, not particularly.
That's okay. You're a man. I understand this. I don't have any actual plans to see any movies this weekend.
I want to try to see Zero Dark Thirty before it leaves the theater. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Although I do think that for the month of March, I need to talk to Justin. I think I'm going to have to not, because I was going to have to miss two of the five Saturdays in March for Shadowrun. On the 9th, some friends are coming into town with their two-year-old, so that Saturday is the day they'll be in Tampa, so I'll kind of be hanging with them all day. And then Saturday the 30th, I'm moving. But since so much is going on, I actually think I'm going to tell him that I'm not going to play at all in March. And hopefully the timing will work out. I know a new campaign starts this Saturday, so the timing works out for me to not be playing, but...
Well, he is podcasting it, so technically you're going on hiatus for a while.
Yes. They're not, but I am. And I know, although I haven't listened to them, I have to go back and look at my Facebook page. I think he started posting the first campaign. It's called Angel something. I can't remember. Again, it's 12:30 a.m. My brain is shot. I started playing in the second campaign, so whenever that one drops, I don't know if I want to listen to myself.
Now you know why it's hard for me to listen back to the show.
I've gotten better at listening to this, but you know, mostly because I have to edit. Although sometimes it's weird to hear my voice. Sometimes it'll just sound really weird, but. You know, how nervous I was when I started playing and the fact that the others are so theatrical and it was difficult for me to kind of jump in and be as theatrical as them. So I kind of don't want to listen only because I am a little embarrassed by the newbiness of how much of a newbie I was. But I think
that could be hard. I mean, I've been playing role-playing games for a while, and if I sat down with a bunch of theatrical players, it'd take me a while to get acclimated too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I gave the cat catnip earlier in the hopes that she would leave me the hell alone and be all stoned. Sadly, she got
Ruby the cat?
Yes. Oh, it's hysterical to watch her. I put some, my old office chair started to break, but she loves sleeping on that chair. So I moved it into the corner in the living room, and I sprinkle some catnip on it, and she just goes crazy, licks it and eats it and rolls in it. And then within 15 seconds, her eyes get completely black. So I actually started her. I think I gave it to her around 10 o'clock just to make sure, because she then goes through her crazy phase. And if I go near her, she'll try and pull the skin off of my body. Well, because...
it's a relationship.
Yes. And also she's perceiving that I'm going to take away her precious catnip. So she goes through her crazy period and then she just passes out for like 3-4 hours. Just bleh. Wherever she is, whatever position she's in, she is out cold. And I like that. But now she ran in here like 15 minutes ago. She's jumped on my back twice already. Everyone loves hearing Lena's cat stories. Yeah. I'm not a crazy cat lady. I am mildly eccentric with only one pet. If I had a dog, you'd be listening to Madame Dog stories. So there.
I can match you with kids' stories, so we're even.
And I like listening to those too. That works. Are we spent?
I think we're spent.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And if you go to the movies, we'll tell you to see Jack and the Giant Slayer. That one we can safely beg you to go see.
I wouldn't say beg, but...
No, not beg. Ask you nicely or force you.
Go see a movie you want to see. Don't listen to us.
No, listen to us. No one listens to me. I need someone to listen to me. Cat doesn't listen to me. Nobody does. All right, that's about it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.